Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sharei. We're learning Leilui Nishmas and Leizeichon Nishmas and Miriam Phil and Miriam Baschai Mitzvah Alaha Hoshan. Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our weekly Torah and striving to improve and to better ourselves. So we are on page Ovdei Hashem. So we are on page 147 of the second Sefer, please. Times of falling, times of growth. So we're talking about from the falls, we grow. It's not so pasha to think when a person falls, they're a failure. That's the tactic of the Yetzer Hara, and he is very strong. But we have to believe and know and appreciate and understand that from the falls, we can rise to even greater heights. Okay, so here we must add an important point, top of page 147. Many times a person falls spiritually, not all times are identical. Last time also we spoke about prayer in depth. We spoke about the Eter. By the way, there was someone in Shir last week who said she lived on a farm, grew up, lived on a farm, right, she's not here now, lived on a farm, and she said, she didn't want to interrupt, but I said, how did I do? She said, you did a very good job of describing what happens on the farm in terms of the plowing and turning over the grain and moving the paths. I said, you should have said in the middle of the year. I said, I've never been on a farm, but she said it was right. Okay. Many times a person falls spiritually. Not all times are identical. Sometimes a person's heart is open in prayer. Sometimes we're able to daven from the depths of my being. You can pour out your heart to pasuk from Eicha as water in the presence of Hashem. But then there are other times, and there are times when the heart feels closed. The heart is sealed. The person feels tremendous difficulty in his avodah. This is not a judgment. The hafech, what he's going to say is that both times are precious. Sometimes we go through such difficult matzavim, or sometimes we see the matzah for Klal Yisrael and Knesset Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Last week was a very difficult week in Eretz Yisrael. Tides for the terror attack on the baby that was buried Ami Ad Yisrael, 3 to 4 days after 10 weeks premature delivery. There was another terror attack, Erev Shabbos. Two young soldiers, 19 and 20, were killed. The third soldier in that attack remains in critical condition in the hospital. Netanel Alad Ben Shena Tzipora Nidrach Meshamayim and a Rafula Shalema. And sometimes a person comes closer to Hashem from their tzaras and they feel closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. And sometimes a person feels more distant from Hashem. Sometimes you feel your heart is closed. There's no right or wrong. Clearly we try to feel closer to Hashem, but the reality is that sometimes I might feel my heart is closed. Sometimes I feel tremendous difficulty in my avodah because life becomes so difficult. You look up to Ribbono Shel Olam and you say, Hashem, what do you want from me? I'm not sure. Sometimes you can't look up. Human nature causes one to feel the days of advancement. When you pour out your heart to Creator, as a child cries to his father, mother, sometimes you feel those are successful days. Human nature is difficult days seem dark, and you wish they would pass so the light can shine again. So this is a beautiful statement. We, with our limited human perception, tend to think that the days when we feel very close to Hashem, very elevated, very motivated, very spiritual, you think, oh, today I had a great day. And the days when you feel distant or closed off or unable to converse with God, you think, oh, I had a terrible day. I can't wait for this day to pass so I could get back to the state of being close to Hashem. That's not true. Of course, it is good to hope that the light will shine, but while in darkness, we must have the proper perspective. And it's a metaphor for the days we're going through now. Hanukkah occurs, that little teeny bit of light in the deepest dark. I know it's not Hanukkah anymore. In the deepest, darkest part of winter, when it's so hard to find the light, you have to have the proper perspective. If you will recognize the great achievement that will come forth from difficult tests, recall that these tests are essential for those achievements. You have a positive attitude about your current difficult state. So this is very, very important. It's extremely important, chizuk, for me personally, for everybody who he's writing the Sefer for, and perhaps it's something that you can relate to as well. On the days where you feel your avodas Hashem is not as geshmak, your tefillah is not as geshmak, your midos were imperfect. Well, that's been the mechavir. We have to always strive in all realms, but when you feel you're having a difficult day, so you might feel those days are failures. Bahafach, those days are days that bring you up to higher heights. Well, I'm reading this now. So it's you who once said, I quote in a different shiur, that whatever biography I'm in the middle of reading, that's where the stories and the sources come from. So it's true. I'm reading, I had time, we were in LA for the weekend, so it's a long flight going there. So after I finished Chumash with Rashi and I finished my Tehillim, so then I start, this book is, I would say addictive. He was, Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shel Vracha, was in mamish, a different world. He was not in this world. If you don't have the book, you should go get it. He was not in this world, but at the same time, he was so attuned and so brilliant in his chachma and in his chinuch. It's just, words cannot describe. Anyway, And again, one second, what page do I want to quote from? Oh! I was so excited when I read this. And I wanted to remember to quote it in class tonight, but I was in the air, and in the air, there's no, unless you pay, there's no Wi-Fi for email, so I could WhatsApp. So I WhatsApp my eldest son saying, please send me an email. Subject line, Share. Body of the email, page 166, so that when I would land, I would have it in my inbox. Ready? A teenage Baal Teshuva was facing stiff opposition from his parents, who did not approve of his new path in life. The boy asked of Aaron Leib Zatzal for a bracha that he should be able to withstand the pressure. Are you listening? Rav Aaron Leib replied, I always wondered why in Al HaNisim, because after class last week, Joanna came over to me with an insight about why you say Al Nifla'os, Al HaNisim, Al Perkum, Al Gvuras, Al Chuas, Al Nifla'os, Al Nechamas, but why do you thank Hashem for the Mechamas? Well, Joanna said, because the struggle. What?
Yal Axarad said.
Okay, so Rabbi Zinyal Axarad from Yom Kippur New Rochelle, I heard it from Joanna after class last week, said, why do you thank Hashem for the mechamos? The mechamos are the difficulties in life. So that's dafka what we're learning. You don't only thank Hashem for the pleasant walking park. You don't only grow from the easy times. The mechamos are also something to say thank you to Hashem for. So I was so excited. Ready? So it's Bachar, this Baal Teshuva, who's facing opposition from his family. Too bad you're not here tonight, because we would have some personal vignettes as well, came to Rav Aaron Leib, and he said, I'm struggling with my family. So Rav Aaron Leib replied as follows, I always wondered why in Al HaNisim we thank Hashem for the mechamos. War is a tough time. People get hurt, people get killed, there are casualties, it's not a pleasant time. We should just thank Hashem for the miracles. You should say Al HaNisim Val Niflaos, and then you get to the gist of the story. But now I understand, he said to this boy. It is for the mechamos like yours, the war that you are fighting, a determined teenager. And it is a tough battle. Even for that tough battle, we thank Hashem. That's exactly what you said to me last week. And then here, I read it on the plane. Rav Aaron Leib smiled and continued, even though you're in the midst of a mechama being waged by your parents, and even more so, you are fighting within yourself. Key, you're fighting within yourself because we end up being torn, we end up being pulled, we end up being confused and conflicted. Please make sure to talk with respectfully to your parents and your siblings. You should make a Kiddush Hashem, so we should merit the Nisim V'Nifla'al. So he added an interesting ha'ara. If you can successfully battle in the Mechamos, if you can come out victorious, even though it's a difficult battle, and you make a Kiddush Hashem through the Mechama, you will be zocha to the Nisim V'Nifla'al. Beautiful. So, of course, it's not just in that matzav with that boy. It's any situation where we are facing. We have to remember that we do thank Hashem for the mechamos. It's something that we praise the Ribbono Shel Olam for. And that can help us have a positive attitude about our current difficult state. What he's talking about is so beautiful. He's not talking about the difficult state that comes upon us in life. And there are many difficult situations that come upon us in life. He's talking about our difficulty with our attitude in that difficult state. That's different. You understand? What is my attitude? What's my What's my outlook towards the difficult state that I am emotionally in, religiously in, spiritually in? Sometimes we have difficult states. You have to realize you can grow for that. Think about this deeply. The comment. And the story with Aaron Leib and the Mechamos was specifically related to Baal Teshuvah. So where the Baalei Teshuvah, the repentant, stand, perfect tzaddikim cannot stand. Applies to the small events in life as well. So you shouldn't think it only means being a chozer, but Teshuvah, a person wasn't keeping Shabbos, which is a tremendous thing. Now they are, a tremendous thing to switch around. Now they are keeping Shabbos, so they're a Baal Teshuvah. But that also applies to the small things in life. A person is struggling so much with a certain midah. A person is struggling so much with having kavan and tefillah. A person is struggling so much with lashon hara. You overcome. So that was a mechama. So now you're a Baal Teshuvah. We should all We should all merit the Toar, a Choser, Choseris Betshuva. Rabbi Teshuva stand, perfect tzaddikim cannot stand. Applies to the small events in life as well. Anytime you rise after a fall, you are a penitent in that regard. You are someone who is Choser Betshuva. You must realize the difficult days allow tremendous attainments to sprout forth. If we could remember this in the difficult times, it's such a source of chizuk to help you get through the difficult times. Because he's going to say it somewhere on the next page. I elaborated on it a little bit. But that's one of the greatest victories of the Yetzer Hara. The Chofetz Chaim says, it's not the sin itself that the Yetzer Hara desires. It's the disconnect that follows between you and Hashem following the sin. Because what happens with the Yetzer Hara? Oh, you sin. You can't ever control your mouth, so don't bother ever trying to control your mouth. You've been trying to have kavanah for X amount of years. You're trying to be patient, whatever it is. Okay, you're trying to improve. You're trying to be better and benching. You're trying to say another couple. You're not successful, so Hashem doesn't want you. Hashem doesn't need to hear from you. That's the battle or the tactic. That's the mecham of the Yetzer Hara. Now you're going to go daven after what you did? You think God's interested in hearing from you? Now don't even bother. You have to realize that difficult days allow tremendous attainments to sprout forth, which will become evident once you rise. So I'm going to share a story that I know I shared yesterday at the JCC, but when I read B'makam Shabbalai Teshuva Omdim, Ein Tzadikim Gemurin Omdim, I am compelled to share this again. This is in the introduction to this book. It's introduction, its own story. Before you even get to section one, and his early life in Brisk, I piece of a tissue. Just one. And his early life in Brisk, thank you, there's a story that's an introduction. Okay? Gilad, you may have heard the story, I'm going to retell it. Gilad, name has been changed. The son of a religious B'nai Brak family left the path of Torah. He moved in with an irreligious relative somewhere in Israel. His life continued to spiral downward, out of control. He became engaged to a non-Jewish girl. His relative was not even Dati. Was very upset by the turn of events. He tried and failed to convince Gilad not to marry this not Jewish woman. However, at least he persuaded Gilad that you owe it to your parents to go home and tell them what you're doing. So Gilad, name has been changed, agreed, and he invited himself home for Shabbos. But he said to his parents, it will be on my terms. He spent Shabbos morning smoking. He transgressed the holy day in full view of his parents. Pained though they were, they had him home. He was their son. They wanted him to know he would always be their son, and he was always welcome. On Shabbos afternoon, Gilad, listen carefully, Gilad's father invited him to a shir, given by none other than Rav Aram Leib Steinman. Surprisingly, Gilad agreed to go. After the shir, they greeted Rav Aram Leib, and Gilad's father sadly mentioned to the gadol his son was not shomer Shabbos anymore. Rav Steinman looked at Gilad, and he said, how long have you not been keeping Shabbos? Gilad bluntly answered, 2 years. And during those 2 years, did you ever have hear hooray teshuvah, thoughts? Just a thought of repentance. Yes, said Gilad, about 4 times in 2 years. And how long did each hear her teshuvah last? Maybe 10 minutes. Okay, so it comes out that for 40 minutes during the last 2 years, this is Rav Steinman, you had the status of B'makam Shabbalei Teshuvah Omdim, Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Omdim. And so of that, I am jealous of you. Good Shabbos. So he said to the boy. Gilad went back to his relative's house after Shabbos. Rav Steinman's words left him no peace. After a great deal of introspection, he broke off his engagement. His life began to turn around. Bless you, Baruch Hashem, he is today Shomer Torah. When asked, why did you agree to go this year in the first place? Like, you're smoking, you're marrying a not Jewish girl. Why did you even agree to go this year? Listen to his response. In fourth grade, his class went to be tested by Aaron Lee. He grew up in B'nai Brak. The Rebbe requested an easy fahair for the boys, and the Rosh Hashiva asked very simple questions. When it was Gilad's turn to respond, he did not know the answer. Rav Aaron Leib asked him an easier question. Gilad did not know. Rav Aaron Leib asked him an even simpler question, which once again he could not answer. After the fahair was over, the boys lined up in front of Rav Aaron Leib, and he gave each boy a candy. When Gilad came to the front, the Rosh Hashiva spoke to him and said, in Torah and Yiddishkeit, we are rewarded for effort, not result. All the other boys put in effort for one question. They got one candy. You exerted yourself. You put in effort for 3 questions. You're getting 3 candies. With a smile, he gave Gilad 3 candies. And that is why Gilad, all those years later, agreed to go to Rav Aaron Leib before he broke off ties with Yehadus and his family in Knesset Yisrael. The concern and the encouragement this Gadol showed me years ago always remained with me. When my father said he was going to Shir, I was willing. He saw me at my lowest point and he didn't put me down. And how this relates to specifically what we're learning, he showed me Hashem accepts every small step of Teshuvah. And that's when and why I decided to repent. We could be at the lowest low. This boy was being with this woman, and she was not Jewish, and he was about to marry her. And how did Rav Steinman bring him back? B'makam Shabbalei Teshuvah Omdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Omdim. In the past 2 years, for 40 minutes, you've been in a greater madriga than me. And so I am jealous of you. Really, if you find the book. 1 second. Mamish by the book. But I just want to tell you one more thing about Chinuch. He was such a poorish from this world. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. He had nothing in his apartment. He needed nothing. But in terms of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, never mind Torah, Gaon Olam. But in terms of, he went to the eye doctor. I just read this story. Actually, online, I just read the story. He went to the eye doctor in his older age. So the eye doctor was testing him to see if he needs reading glasses. So the eye doctor gave him a Gemara with very small print. He always went with a Shamus, a Talmud, a grandchild. So he started to read the Gemara. So the eye doctor says, oh, he knows the Gemara. So it was the Talmud or the grandchild, the Shamus. He can't see the Gemara. He knows it off by heart. Give him something else and you'll see that he needs glasses. 1 second. Oh, okay. One more vignette. Blee Nader. A watershed moment in his personal development occurred when Rav Aaron Leib was 11 years old. The new Rebbe in Cheder, he grew up in Brisk, asked him a question in learning and he did not know the answer. In frustration, the Rebbe slapped him across the face. Rav Aaron Leib felt the sting of that slap for nearly a century. And whenever he related the incident, which was often, he said, if a Talmud doesn't know the material, there is no justification for corporal punishment. If the Rebbe wanted to blame someone for me not knowing, he should have blamed himself for not explaining the material well enough so that I could understand it. Okay. Okay, that was on the second to bottom paragraph, page 147. Now we can have such an unbelievable ha'ara into how a tzaddik really lives with the awareness of b'makom shabbat tshuva et omdim, ein tzaddikim gurim omdim. Applies to the smallest events in life. Talk about small. You had hirhurei teshuva. He didn't actually, this Bachar Gilad, whatever his real name is, under even go to Shuva even really, until he came to Rav Aaron Leib. He just thought about it for 40 minutes in 2 years. Talk about small things in life, small events. He didn't even take action. In fact, he continued to deteriorate more and more and more down to the point where he moved out with his parents and he was marrying a non-Jewish girl. Small events, he thought 4 times for 10 minutes about repentance. Therefore, look at the koach of those thoughts. Yes, Rav Simon played an unbelievable role and a major defining moment in turning him around, but it had to be within. He had to have the ratzon. Where did it come from? Here, who are teshuvah? The smallest events in life. Anytime you rise after a fall, you are a penitent. You must realize that the difficult days are a tremendous attainment to sprout forth, which will become evident once you rise, which is such a beautiful illustration in the story that we just shared. However, while you are undergoing the process of a tzaddik, fall 7 times, we call it down at the beginning of the section, tzaddik yipol sheva kamer, shay mikal shubara, you cannot see the light. You will attain when it will be over. And that's so true. While you're going through the fall, it's very hard to have the foresight to know that there is light ahead of the tunnel. It's very difficult. It becomes painful. It becomes a struggle. Sometimes we feel so low that we lose the belief, chas v'shalom, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's so hard to see that there will be light when it's over. That's what we say in Shemaz, Kapitul Kuf Chavav, L'shuv Hashem Eshivat Tzion Hayinu Kechalmim. We'll be like Jesus. We can't believe that this was ever going to happen. We did believe, but it was so hard to believe. Oz, only then, Yimal Yisroch Pino Shonlinu Rina. Really, the nations of the world are going to say, Higdol Hashem L'Asos Yimelech. Can you imagine the nation saying that? Higdol Hashem L'Asos Yimelech Hayinu Simechim. Even when you rise after the first, the second, or the third fall, maybe you can't see the light. Only after finishing the whole set of tests and then rising the last time do the powers earned become revealed. But also, because I think, I'll tell you where I'm going to take this, but we don't see the whole picture. Okay, something that I mentioned in regard to the parshios of Vayigash and Vayichi. The only picture we see is that there's a family reunion. It looks wonderful. Yosef's going to provide for them. They'll live in Goshen. Yehuda sets up a yeshiva. Yaakov comes down. There is pomp and grandeur. Everybody greets him. They're living together for 17 years before he dies. It looks like a wonderful matzah. Really, what is it? The foreshadowing of a terrible galus that's about to commence. We don't see a big picture. We see a fraction. So sometimes what looks bad is really good. What looks good, like to Yosef and the brothers, is really Rachmana Litzan, the fulfillment of Jewish destiny, but we're not entering into an easy time because we don't see the full picture. So when you're in the middle of the fall, the difficult time, the nisayon, whether it is externally brought about or internally brought about, in your battle with the Yetzer, it's very hard to see a better picture. Think of a personal matzav, okay? We don't have to stand up and give examples. Everybody knows a personal matzav. Okay, it's impossible to say. There's no such thing as the Rav is the sun, always shine, pun intended, you cannot see the light. There's no such thing as the sun, always shine, says the Rav. If a person thinks so, he's mistaken. It's not true. So think of the matzav you're in when it's very hard to see that ultimately there's going to be light. We only see part of the picture. Imagine you're looking through something like this. So what do I see? I only see this. But you all see this. I only see a teeny hole. I can see the tissues and the sfarim on the table. I can't see people. You can see everything. So, we'll have the Alfa of Daz. The Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Ein Sof, Haya, Hov, Eviyah, sees the whole picture from the beginning to end of time. I heard of Shai Shachter quote a mashal from Rav Shimshon Pinchas Zatzal. Shimshon Pinchas gives an interesting mashal to illustrate this point. Just heard this today. It's like a person, okay, you have two people looking out the window. An adult and a baby. They're looking out the same window. They see the exact same thing. They see people, they see buildings, they see cars, they see birds, they see trees, if you live somewhere where it's green. The baby in the stroller and the adult see the same thing. So what's the difference? The adult sees a building. Maybe it says on the building, New York Times, if you want. Okay, whatever, just using an example. So Wall Street Journal. So that adult understands when he sees Wall Street Journal, he can read the letters. He understands this is a place where they print. This is a place where news comes. This is a place where there are reporters. The adult sees a gas station. He understands this is a place where we fill up with gas. He sees birds building a nest. He knows what they're doing in the tree. He sees people walking, pushing a stroller. That's a mother talking to her baby. He sees industry. He sees productivity. He sees technological advancements. He says a much bigger, what does the baby see? Some color, some bright thing shining, a person. The baby sees the same thing. But is the picture of what the baby perceives to what the adult perceives the same thing? Not at all. It can't be at all. The baby sees things that are red and things that are green and things that are gray and a stroller. Okay, but it doesn't have the ability to put the picture together. It doesn't make inferences. I thought it was a very beautiful mashal Rav Shimshon Pinchas gives. I heard Rav Shai Shechter tell it over, quoting Rav Pinchas. It's a very beautiful and important mashal to understand our limited, infantile vision of this world compared to the Ein Sof of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What do I see? I'm like the baby in the stroller. I can't put the pieces together. The baby does not have the intellect or the education or the capacity to understand what he's seeing. So physically, physiologically, he sees the same thing. But his scope and his interpretation is so limited by the fact that he's an infant. So that's us. So what do I see? I see snippets. I see some color. I see some people. I don't have the ability to put it all together. I don't know what it's trying to teach me. I don't know how this whole big picture fits. Isn't it brilliant? It's brilliant. I don't know how the whole thing fits. I see snippets of information. I'm like the baby in the stroller. And we always talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam being Avinu, and he is our father, and he's our provider. So he sees the big picture. What do I see? I see everything. I don't understand how it fits together. So geschmack. When the brothers come down, it's a moment of triumph. We're only going for 5 years. There's 5 more years of famine, says Yosef. Come down, I'll be a provider. Life after the famine, what will they do? They'll go back home to Canaan. We're coming here for a short time. Who sees the big picture? The Ribbono Shel Olam, Yaakov and Nivua, but who sees the big picture? The Ribbono Shel Olam. What do we see? Snippets, how it applies to our lives. We can't understand. But this mashal helps us understand how and why we can't understand. You don't you wouldn't say to the baby, what are they doing in the building of the Wall Street Journal? Why don't you understand? It's so obvious. Not so obvious to the baby. So we have to understand it is beyond our emotional, psychological, intellectual, physical capabilities to understand what we're seeing. So it makes no sense that a new couple, a 21-year-old mother, I saw the father said, we had just lit the 8th light of Chanukah, such a joyous time. My daughter was in her 7th month of pregnancy. We were all awaiting the first great-grandchild, with so much happiness. Do I understand? I'm sure you've all seen their pictures of Shira and Amichai, why they're waiting at a bus stop, And a wicked terrace, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Yevanim Nichbetzu Alai. Do I understand why they were shot? Do I understand why the baby needed to be delivered 10 weeks early? Had to suffer for 3 or 4 days and then died as barren. Do I understand? Why do I see? I'm like the baby in the straw. I don't understand anything. Do you know, you say the baby, what goes on in the Wall Street Journal? Do you know how the car runs? What do you want from the baby? They can see colors, snippets. I don't understand anything. And then we're frustrated when we don't understand. We can't understand. It's impossible. I'm like 9 months old in the stroller. I could see some color. I don't have the education, the capacity, the intellect. You can't see the light when you're falling, when your vision is so limited. It pasha makes no sense, but it makes sense that it makes no sense. But we think we're at the top of the world. We think it should make sense. Only, maybe it's the answer to our questions. Oh, there's a great story in here. Last night when we were eating after the fast, we were sharing stories. We were talking about Rav Shteinman and trading stories. I'm showing my son snippets. My husband, my other son's drawing a sketch. Wait, you have to listen to this great story. Because I said maybe that ring is the answer to our question. See, it was Bashir. Because listen to what it made me think of. Although Kabbalah's Kahal... No, 1 second. What page? Oh, 199. Oh, Rabbi Aaron Leiv had his share of colorful visitors and petitioners. He knew how to handle each one. In 2013, he was visited by a man with a history of mental illness. I would like the Rav to know I'm Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, I will soon reveal myself, the man proclaimed. If the Rosh Yeshiva will help me spread my message, he should publicly introduce me to the masses as Eliyahu HaNavi. It will hasten the redemption. Hasten? This is wonderful, said Rav Aaron Leib. I've been waiting for you to come to me for more than 95 years. I want to discuss with you all the resolved questions in the Gemara. Every time it says, Teiku, Tishbi, Barakush, Yosu, Bios, I've been waiting for the answers. Let's start. Baba Mitzia, Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph. What is the halacha if one finds one kav in two amos? The man didn't answer. Rav Aaron Leib continued to ask him questions. After several more teikus, the imposter told Rav Aaron Leib he will get back to him at a later date after he receives the go-ahead from Hashem, and he left. So he didn't say, you're crazy. He didn't say, get out of here. He said, I want to discuss some Torah with you. But Pasha, why did it make me think of it? Because I'm saying we don't know the answers. Tishbi, Yubar, Kushios, Abayas. When will I know the answers? When the grand picture is revealed. When be Moshe Mashiach? I can't. I'm like a baby. So taka makes no sense. My Sunday morning shiur in LA, I spoke a number of times over the weekend. Sunday morning shiur is like called Torah LA, like you know here they do OU City Field. So it was OU Torah LA, smaller scale of OU City Field. Concurrent speakers and speeches, okay. So I was in the Tanakh track. So I was the first speaker in the Tanakh track. On the Tanakh track were three speakers, sponsored by a family in memory of, there was a big poster, the Tanakh track, these two shiurim are sponsored by this family in memory of their two daughters. And the mother spoke before me, about 15 minutes, about her daughters, on the occasion of one of the daughters' 12th year tzeit, and the occasion of the other daughter's 4th year tzeit. They were both married, one had 2 children, one had 4 children. She spoke about their accomplishments and the family they raised. I understand anything? You understand? I said Hashem. I said listening to her. It's very hard for me. If you heard the shiur online, you can hear in the beginning of the shiur, my voice is like breaking. It was very hard after listening to her to begin my shiur. But I thought what she was speaking, what do you want from us? What do you want? I'm the baby in the stroller. I know nothing. I cannot understand how this street scene all makes sense. It makes no sense. Only God, the parent, understands. I see, I can't put it together. Rav Shimshon Pinchas, what an unbelievable mashal with an unbelievable nimshal. And we're frustrated, we don't understand. Of course you don't understand. You don't know, you don't see the whole pie. He fragments. So when you're in the middle of the fall, it's very hard to know that there'll be light at the end. There is then a double concealment. Page 148, I don't know, first full paragraph on page 148. There isn't a double concealment. During the fall, you will certainly not see the light. Even after picking yourself up, you will not initially see what you gain from the process. If so, the next time you fall, you won't know that when you picked yourself up from the previous fall, you actually gained something. So what we tend to not appreciate is that the falling, when we're nichshal, actually help us rise higher. You only remember the difficult days, the suffering. You will naturally be very concerned about the fall. But when you have absolute faith, and the words of Chazal, you will know you've achieved more from those falls than from all the times that thing went well. What saved that boy? The falling. Just having hirhurei teshuva, the teeny steps in the fall, is what saved him. So you could say that the fall himself saved him. Saved him. You'll be happy even in such times. Merely knowing and believing in this fact will grant you the ability to cope properly during those difficult times. And I thought that it was very, very interesting vis-a-vis understanding Yosef HaTzadik and the brothers. In the middle of all the falls, it's very hard to see the bigger picture. But when the brothers come down, Yosef repeatedly reassures them, Lo atem shalachtem osikim elokim, you didn't send me here. God sent me here, lachayosachem arav, amrav, to sustain a large nation, to be a provider of life. It's not you. He reassures them repeatedly. He understands at the end of the picture that there was a master plan, that it was really God controlling Jewish destiny who brought them all down here. It was not you. He mamish is able to say, there's nothing to do with you. Could you imagine? The very people who hated him, who threw him into the pit, who sold him, who tortured him, who got rid of him, he's able to say, it's not you. I see the big picture. Hashem sent me here, l'achayosachem amrav. Down here, we're going to continue to fall in Egypt. It's going to be so hard for us. We will become an amrav. From Mitzrayim, Mitzarim, Bein HaMitzarim. That's when we rose to the greatest heights. When were we born as a nation? In the crucible of suffering of Egypt. Next week. Next week. Next week. Vayomer par al hamiyaldos ha'ivrios. Vayomer par al hamiyaldos ha'ivrios. Uri'isem al ha'avnaim. In ben huva amitimosa. In basiyu techayon. And the most deepest crucible of suffering. From the most difficult place where we fell, dafka from there, we became a great nation. But it's hard when you're going through it. My grandfather wrote in his memoirs, Yitzhak ben Moshe, Alav Hashem, he and his friend lay on the barracks, and they talk continually about the murderers, this is a quote, that they were sent by God, he writes that. Whoever survives, that's how it was a Yiddish piece, and my mother professionally translated. We talk continuously about the murders, that they were sent by God. And we said, whoever survives this hell will live to see a Jewish state. Whoever survives this hell, it was Yiddish, Gehenem, will live to see Mashiach. We have to have some belief that there is a bigger picture, there's light, even though I can't see it. It's a very confusing times. I saw they're now going to start to put, I don't know what they call them, overseers. They're starting to train. New York State Board of Ed is starting to train supervisors, maybe that's the word, who will be going into the Jewish schools to watch exactly what they're doing. Can we understand anything? Can we understand why David and Cecil Rosenthal, who stood in the back of the synagogue, Tree of Life, and greeted everyone with a warm smile? They folded all the talisim. They gave out a talis and a siddur to anyone who entered. They were always on time. They were always early. They were mentally handicapped. Can I understand why they were killed? I see some yellow. I see some red. I see a table. I don't know what it means. Because I'm a baby. I don't know if people are having a shir. An adult understands what's going on here. Can't understand. Merely knowing and believing in the fact that will grant us the ability to cope properly during the difficult times. Who doesn't need this chizuk? Who? It's rhetorical. Only someone living in La La Land who's not in this world in a not positive way doesn't need this chizuk. Oy. Including Hashem, even in the time of tests and difficulties. You must pour out your prayer to Hashem. We spoke about prayer very much last time. Oh, this would be a good place to do that, Rabbeinu Bechaya. About Vayetar Yitzchak. If you missed last week's shiur, you could go online and find out. You want to hear something cute? We need a little comic relief. Whew. If you saw the shiur online last week, I grew up in Canada. So when I uploaded it online, it's called Plowing the Football Fields of Life. By the way, chizuk for everybody. I got a very nice email from somebody who lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh who said that she in particular, no names, no details, she explained a certain matzav that she's going through, that she in particular was a big chizuk for her. Okay, so kol kavod to everybody who comes to learn here. But, what's the comic relief? So I enter the title, P-L-O-U-G-H-I-N-G, the football field's alive. Then after midnight, I'm in bed. Said, did I spell plowing wrong? That's yours online. Everyone could go see it. She said, never mind, she doesn't know how to pronounce plowing. That's a joke, that I know how to pronounce. She doesn't know how to spell it. So I'm not getting off to do this now. I'll check in the morning. So I went online in the morning. How do you spell plowing? But I'm not crazy. Okay, I'm not crazy. The British way, like neighbor in Canada, N-E-I-G-H-B-O-U-R. That's how I grew up. I changed it when I came here. Plowing's not a word I usually use, but it's not incorrect. It's just not American. So my husband said, no one's going to know what it says. You change it to W. I said, no, that's how I spell it. I'm not changing W. Anyway, if you do listen to the shir, you could go listen. It was an important shir about tefillah. You must pour out your prayer to Hashem, both in times of small... Did anyone see it online and wonder what I was doing? Okay, now you know when you do see it. You must pour out your prayer to Hashem both in times of smallness, katanos, katnos, and in times of greatness, godless. You can attain great things, both when you seem to be succeeding and when you seem to be falling. See what he says? Just because you think you're succeeding and you think you're falling, maybe Hashem sees something else. Maybe the success is gaiva. Maybe the success is false. Maybe the success is the HR. And maybe the fall is the greatest aspect of your avodas Hashem you ever had. Seems. In prayer, you should discuss your success and your failure. You should tell Hashem. Remember we said a couple weeks ago, if you have a problem and you don't want to tell Kashin Har, just tell Hashem. In prayer, you should discuss your success and your failure, whether they relate to will, thought, speech, or action. So interestingly, Nancy, who cannot be here this evening, has a conflict. She often shares with me Torah thoughts, inspirational thoughts, ideas, or situations that happen. So today at 4:45, she couldn't come. She told me yesterday. But Michal, I wanted to share an insight. So she's with us. Metaphysically, Nancy's with us. I wanted to share an insight I recently discovered. Someone on a message board, writes Nancy, posted, we should worry about nothing and pray about everything. I find, says Nancy, when I worry, I get nothing accomplished. And things get worse. However, when I daven, parentheses, which I do daily, solutions to problems appear more easily. So smart, so profound, and so true. When I worry, I get nothing accomplished. Isn't that true? Okay. And things get worse. So, Be'ezer Hashem, we're making a bar mitzvah in a few short weeks. So now I'm worried about the weather. So my very insightful, Kanaina, her wonderful 15-year-old daughter, says to me at supper time, Mommy, there's a lot more important things to worry about, like davening. I said, you're right. I can't even control the weather. I said to my husband, say, because we were tusking things about the bar mitzvah, Be'ezer Hashem, I said, could you control the weather? So he sent me a picture of like the sun shining. He's like, actually, I can. It was a joke. Obviously, we can. So what am I worried about? I'm worried about something I have less than zero control. The only thing I could do is put myself to people coming from Baltimore, somebody coming from Arkansas, people coming from New Jersey, multiple people coming from Toronto. So is it going to help me to worry about the weather? You get nothing done and it makes the situation worse. It's human nature. But what will I accomplish? Zero. In prayer, discuss with Hashem your successes, discuss your failures, discuss your worries. That's what he says. Is your success or failure? It's a failure. Why am I worried about the weather? Someone once told me something great. Ricky Fishbein. Da'aga is every letter of the Aleph Beis, the first five letters of the Aleph Beis, except for Beis, Da'aga. Dalet, Aleph, Gimel, Hey. No Beis, because Beis is Bitachon. And with Bitachon, there's no Da'aga. It's very high level. Okay, so clearly Michal Horowitz needs to work on herself. What am I even thinking about the weather? It should be off the map. If it's going to snow and people can't get here, then that's what's on Hashem. What am I going to do? Why am I worried? I should take it to Tefillah. I should tell Hashem about my success and failure in will, in thought. Hashem, why am I thinking about the weather? I'm telling myself, what am I, crazy? I have nothing better to think about. My daughter says, Mommy, you have much better, more important things to be worried about. It's true. Speech or action. What does Nancy say? When I worry, it makes it worse and I get nothing done. And when I pray, I find I can accomplish. If you have not properly instilled emunah, you will think the tests, I'm at the very bottom of page 148, ladies. If you did not properly, If you have not properly instilled amunah, you will think the tests you did not pass were worthless. In fact, I think it's more than worthless. What do I think about the test that I can't pass? You couldn't even do it. You couldn't even keep your mouth shut. How lowly are you? Really? Not only will you think you're worthless, but you'll think you're negative. Things that came by mistake and now have passed, it's a shame that they came at all. You'll think, wow, what a chaval. I wish that never happened to me. I wish I was never in a situation of a fall. But when you live with Amunah, this section of the Sefer is very beautiful and relevant. When you live with Amunah, I know Hashem prepared these tests for you with great precision. They came to give you attainments that could not have been received any other way. No other way could you have attained the level you're on without the fall. No other way could Yosef have become the viceroy. With him, it was a literal fall into a pit, which culminated in a whole series of falls. There was no other way. There's no other way. Al yichar beinechem, don't be sad. Al te'atzvu. It wasn't you, it was Hashem. There's no other way to achieve the pinnacle of achievement without the falls. Then you will understand you must include Hashem even in your tests and fails. How beautiful. Instead of being, what's the word, disgruntled? How do you pronounce that word?
Yeah?
Okay, thank you. Instead of being disgruntled with ourselves and frustrated with ourselves and say that the fall makes me into a bad person, a weak person, an inefficient person, take it to Hashem. Hashem, make this fall part of my avodas Hashem. I'm a human being. I'm normal. I'm not, I can't even say in the same sentence, I'm not on the level of such people. I'm just a normal, pashut, simple person. So I'm worried about the weather. So please help me. I know it's a failing. I know I shouldn't be worried about the weather. I know it's beyond my control. Take it to Hashem. Include Hashem even in your tests, even in your failures. Through tefillah. What this really means is you must live completely with Hashem. Let me see something. I do not want to continue because then we're getting into Karbanos and that is a new section. Does anyone have questions or comments? So we should have a week of Besuras Tovos and we should remember, take with us the Masha of Rav Shimshon Pinkus in the week ahead. I see, but there's no way I can understand or put the picture together. You have a question or comment? Besuras Tovos, everybody. Thank you.